This is the 715's Newsmakers, a public affairs program produced and presented by the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. Mike Cahoon is with us. We're going to talk a little bit, quite a bit, about Hope Village. And all throughout 2023, we've kind of started as a bit of a theme, and I don't mind this theme at all because it definitely is something that we need to focus on because it's happening right here in our community, our greater 715 community, and that is homelessness. Those that are without homes, those that are struggling for some kind of permanency, or at least a temporary permanency, maybe I'll put it that way, with their residence. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the options that are available to them and how we can help our friends and neighbors out. And I think, Mike, if we position it that way, if we keep remembering that so many of these people are our friends, neighbors, people we see at a mall or at church, or we've encountered them. Maybe they're going through a rough bump in life, and that's where Hope Village comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how we look at it. Just neighbors that we have that are going through a struggle currently and just need a little bit of a helping hand to get them back up on their feet and going and doing what they love to do.
Right. And, you know, where that all starts, too, things that we for often we take for granted are our housing, our, you know, I boil it right down to, yeah, I've got shelter, I've got heat, I've got electricity, I can read my book when I want to, all these other kinds of things that we're able to do that we sometimes, unfortunately, take for granted. That for some people, housing is a big struggle.
Absolutely. There's not a great supply of affordable housing in the Chippewa Valley, so that's a struggle for a lot of people. I was just reading Volume 1, and that was their biggest thing in the valley that they see is affordable housing is lacking. And not only the things that you listed, John, do you have, you know, a roof over your house and those type of things, but oftentimes these are people that are living on a very tight income.
Yes.
So if one thing kind of gets out of balance, it throws everything out of balance. And we also find that you and I probably have a pretty good social network, a safety network, and folks that find themselves without shelter sometimes just don't have that. They don't have those friends that are in an economic place where they can help them.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past. Mike Cahoon is with us. We're talking Hope Village here, and we'll tell you a little bit what Hope Village is all about and what's connected with all of that. But, I mean, we so often think of these instances that we just take for granted what we have and how we got into this position. And for a lot of these folks, infrastructure or lack thereof is a big piece of all this. I've brought this up in the past shows in which we've talked about, I think, Mike, you're in a similar position. I'm probably there as well, in which there are probably 100 people that I would call or reach out to some way if there was an issue. I would say, can you help? And I'm lucky enough that I think most of them would come help.
Right.
I would find some way to help, and vice versa. I would do the same. If somebody reaches out to me, I'm going to, what can I do? How can I help out? In many cases, for a lot of these people that are going through these struggles, they don't have that. In fact, it's very much the opposite. Sometimes they've been pushed out of those situations or have allowed themselves to be pushed out of that type of infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes the thing that, you know, we talk about maybe a medical condition,
right,
or we talk about a car breaking down or losing a job, but also oftentimes it's broken relationships where we've had 5 high school students that have been our guests in our tiny house. So seniors that are adults, 18 years old,
wow,
whose families are broken. So mom and dad go through a divorce. The son or daughter struggles. They start struggling in school. Their grades go down. They were great athletes. Now they can't play the sport they love. And all of a sudden, things just start snowballing for them.
Wow.
And they just don't have the resources that you and I might have.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for framing that story to just remind us that it's happening here in the Chippewa Valley, that it's very real. And again, for many of they don't want to be labeled as victims, and I'm not saying that, but from that standpoint, if you categorized it that, as a victim, they aren't always the victim. They have come from a particular place, and where Hope Village can come in is an opportunity to be that trampoline, to be that bounce back, a place to stay, a place to live, a place to get some normalcy. So eventually you're able to move on from that.
Correct. Yeah, we look at what we do as transitional. So if a guest comes to us, we're looking at trying to help them get into permanent housing as quickly as possible. And that's different time periods for different people, depending on what their situation is. But again, that affordable housing piece, there's just a lack of it in the community. There's a lack of housing at all income levels, but especially at that affordable housing level. So I don't know if I can tell a story about one of the guests or not.
Oh, you certainly can.
So
please do.
I had just mentioned that we've had a number of high school students, and one of those high school students' name was Calvin Better. And this is kind of a public story, so I know he doesn't feel bad about me sharing it. But Calvin came from us to us from McDonald High School. And the staff at the high school had contacted us because Calvin was homeless. His family unit fell apart. Mom and dad got a divorce. Calvin had struggled in some of the earlier years, but his teachers saw potential in him. So we got connected with them, and maybe you know this story, but Calvin wanted to break the Guinness Book of World Records for chin-ups, was 5,500 chin-ups. So he, as he was living with us, he was doing his workouts and had set a date to do this, and he was going to try to raise some money besides. He ended up raising $9,500 for the United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley.
Wow.
And Calvin, the day of, struggled a little bit. He only got to 3,400 chin-ups, which is more chin-ups than me and my entire family have done during our entire lives.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I'm like, 3,400? Good grief. It would take a while to do all that, which is very interesting when you start looking at what hope comes out of Hope Village. Is that's people, so often, the people that are having struggles themselves still find space in their troubled life to help others. Isn't that interesting? It's very interesting that compassion begets compassion. I remember watching a show, one of the one of those makeover type shows, and they were talking about tiny homes, and they were talking about how things can be utilized and how these communities get built and all these other things. And there happened to be there was a homeless couple at the time that was going through this particular home, and they made a great remark that I did not take lightly. I thought, they said, you know, this is just what we need. And that's an interesting point, is that for a lot of people, we look in terms of, I'm going to need 14 rooms and this and that and whatever. Perspective gives us a different view, where sometimes they see, listen, I'm not asking for the world. I'm asking for something, a place to stay, a roof over my head, someplace that's workable. And that's what Hope Village provides.
Yeah, believe me, the tiny houses that we provide aren't anywhere close to a mansion. They're not the fanciest place in the world. But they work. We've had people, of course, come to us from sleeping in a tent along the river or sleeping in their minivan overnight, families in their van overnight. So just having a place where you can go, you can turn the heat on, you are out of the rain, and you know, you can turn some music on, you've got a place that you can call your own, where you can keep your items in it, and just that safety and security and having a place to yourself just gives a person some dignity.
Next week on 715's Newsmakers, part two of our conversation with Mike Cahoon of Hope Village of Chippewa Falls, and we'll talk more about the homeless crisis here in the Chippewa Valley and what we can do to help. 715's Newsmakers on the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. Michelle Reinen from Wisconsin.cap, our consumer affairs specialist, is here as we talk a little bit about consumer protection topics here and schemes and scams. But I love this one. This is one of my favorite times of year where we get to look back on the top 10 consumer complaints in 2022. I know you're thinking, Murph, you really need to get a life if this is an exciting thing for you. But what I find fascinating sometimes is how much things change, but actually how much things stay the same. You know, sometimes the same things that are bothering us actually become the same things that bother us. However, one I'll pick right out is the number two. I'm going to go right to number two on the top 10 complaints. Telemarketing, it actually shows that last year there was a decrease from 2021. Is that, are we getting better at knocking down the telemarketers, or are people just giving up on complaining?
Well, that's where we want consumers to help us make sure we are evaluating this information correctly. We do believe that there is a reduction in telemarketing calls going to consumers. There's been different legislation and technology put in place over the years, and we did see some decreases during the pandemic. So we believe and are hopeful it's a result of all those efforts that we only received 1,600 complaints in 2022. But we do want to make sure that consumers are continuing to file those complaints and they don't just have fatigue. So, it's a little bit of a call to action for them if they are slowing down on filing the complaints, that they pick that back up so we have awareness of where the issues are and we can work with our federal partners to continue to crack down on this area.
You know, some of the things on the list here, Michelle Reinen is with us from Wisconsin.cap, and these are the top 10 consumer complaints in 2022. I looked at number three on the list, home improvement. It kind of makes sense that it more than doubled the volume received in 2021, partially because a lot of people came through the pandemic, and on the other side of that, they said, let's get busy, let's get back to work and all sorts of things. Well, that also can open the door for a lot of home improvement scammers.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. You're right that there was more work being done, more contracts being taken out. But there's another thing we noticed with those complaints that had an impact, and that is the supply chain shortage issues we had at the beginning of the year, as well as, employment shortage issues. So while those contractors had good contracts in place with clients, they maybe didn't have the staff they needed to honor all the details of the contract and get the work done in that timely manner, and if supplies weren't coming in. So the types of complaints were really about that failure to provide service and materials and honor warranties and disclosing lien waivers and things. So it's a combination of issues as to why this number increased so much more than in the past.
It's interesting, too, and we talk about this from time to time. Sometimes it's scams and schemes. Sometimes it's actual legitimate complaints. There's reasons behind these things. It's just business. It's just the way it works. However, that doesn't mean, it could be something as simple as, you got your food late coming to your table. That doesn't mean any great malfeasance is going on. That means they didn't have enough staff to get the food out there, and it's a very real problem. Or a supply chain issue is another issue that's out there. This one might have been a little bit surprising. Identity theft, a significant decrease there, and that's good news. Is part of that because maybe we're getting a little more savvy with regard to identity theft, that the message is finally getting through to us that take this seriously, it can happen to you?
Yeah, we definitely hope that is part of the reason why this number has decreased, and that people are using the tools that are available to them to monitor their identity, lock down their credit report through a free security freeze, look at those free credit reports for errors, and take action right away. But we do know data breaches continue, so there's still concern and vulnerability with identities, and people need to do that monitoring. But one of the reasons for the decrease in numbers is that there were different programs available in 2021 as a result of COVID and grants. And so we did see some manipulation of information there, which increased the complaints in that year. So the reflection of the decrease kind of just puts us back into the normal state.
Looking at the list, which includes right at the top the landlord-tenant issues, which is up just a little bit, telemarketing, we mentioned, home improvement, telecommunications, and identity theft. But if that's the top five right there. Is there anything on this list where you kind of went, this is cause for concern, alarm, or on the other side of that, a cause for victory, that something that maybe was very high on the list before is really decreasing?
I would say they're in the bottom five, number 6 through 10, that's where we see the differences. New issues that have creeped in for the first time because of the state of things in 2022, as well as a reaction by consumers because new legislation was put in place. So I think there's more education and knowledge and people are taking action. And an example of that is medical services. We saw an increase of 60% with complaints being filed, 440. And these are about billing disputes, deceptive misrepresentations, and we hope, a result of the fact that the Surprise Billing Act went into place at the beginning of the year, where an insured patient receives an unexpected or often excessive medical bill, they have consumer rights now under federal consumer protection laws, and we work with our partners at the Office of Commissioner Insurance to evaluate those complaints. So, again, this is an area where we hope new regulations and additional education has just brought this issue forward for people to be paying attention to their medical bills.
Cause and effect is such a great thing here. You know, in many cases, that's good news, actually, is that, oh, guess what? Maybe some of the laws are working. Maybe this legislation is there for a reason and people are paying attention and they're doing something about it. So it's not always bad that people are stepping up and making the complaints and that sort of thing. It's they're exercising their rights. Michelle Reinen is with us from Wisconsin DadCap. 715's newsmakers on the stations of Midwest Family, Eau Claire, Patty Holman, and the Noble Call. They're coming to the Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls in March. Looking forward to that. Patty, I got to tell you, I think you might be the first Patty I've had the pleasure to talk with here. And I just love, as you can imagine, with a name like Murphy, I love Irish music. I love the traditions that go with it. And the lore, of course I love the language and all of that. Patty, give me a little bit of your background. Tell us a little bit about the show, for one, but also how you got started doing what you're doing.
Well, hello there, John, and to all your listeners out there, I'm just so excited to be coming up your way to bring myself and our group, The Noble Call, to perform for St. Patrick's Day. Now, as you mentioned about Patty, yes, legally on my passport, my name is actually Patty. Of course, I was christened Patrick, but only in Ireland would I get away with this. I went into the passport office when I was about, I don't know, 19 or 20. The lady in the passport office in Cork City said, "What's your name?" And I was always called Patty, so I said, "Patty." So she just put it down on my passport, Patty. Ever since then, legally, when I came to America, I've been known as Patty, but of course back home too, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me much, because if you understand the legend and lore of the Irish, we always have at least one trick up our sleeve, at least one.
That's fine.
You know, that's what we do. You know, it's kind of like that. But tell me, how did you musically get started?
Well, you know what? Music, I suppose my mother would say I've been singing longer than I've been walking. So I've been singing all my life. I do not know a time I've not been singing. It's just incredible. And so lucky to have the opportunity to naturally just have a great passion and love of songs and music. And yeah, I came out to America. I'm here in America now about 15 years. Came by accident, actually. I was getting a lift, a ride, I suppose, from Cork to Dublin one day, and a friend of mine says, "I'm going out to Chicago." And I said, "Well, yeah, I might drop out to you and say hello." Well, I came out, but I kind of forgot to go back. And ever since then, I've been working out around here doing music, and I happen to work in healthcare as well, not-for-profit healthcare. And it's an absolute honor to bring that passion for service with a great love of Irish music. And when you blend both of them together, I always say only in America could you get such opportunities. I'm just so grateful to be out here in the Midwest and to bring my love of stories and song, and no better time to do that than, of course, at St. Patrick's St. Patrick's Day and all those celebrations that go along with that. So the Noble Call, actually, you mentioned about traditions.
And right.
The Noble Call actually goes back to my parish in Cork City, where, you know, maybe in the wee hours of the morning, or you might be in a local bar establishment, and I can think of all these characters who would instantly get up and say, right, Paddy for a song or Jim for a story and stuff like that. And the Noble Call is that gentle offering where each person has their own song or party piece, I suppose, and they put it out there for others to enjoy. And isn't that a wonderful tradition where people gather, celebrate, and it's all about community, it's all about the music, it's all about that sense of, we say in the Irish language, on ba uil da chéile, that fellow feeling for others. And that's why I love celebrating St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Month, really, the month of the Irish, with others.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because absolutely, March, both my older brother and my late father now were born in March, right around St. Patrick's Day. So I just grew up thinking, isn't the entire month of March for us? It's for the Irish, right? It's all for all of us here, and we're going to celebrate March 11th at the Heidi Center for the Arts, which is a beautiful venue, by the way, a great place, very intimate. You're going to get up close and personal with Patty and the Noble Call and be able to see all of this. What's your favorite part of Irish music? And I got a feeling that the stories figure in there somewhere, because there's always a great story tied to virtually each and every Irish song.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. Of course, how I got connected to the Hyde Center for the Arts is that I've always had a great love of Irish history. Of course, Irish history, for anyone, it's just really phenomenal how, you know, a small country were able really to take on the might of the British Empire at the time, and to, you know, kick above its weight to, you know, establish our Irish Republic, and we're well on the road to, I suppose, a 32 county again. But I would say that I created a one-man show called I Am Ireland, and over years when I came out here to America, I always thought about bringing that story of Ireland on stage. And so I created a one-man show called I Am Ireland, and it was nationally broadcast on PBS in 2020, and it continues to be played. In fact, PBS just has renewed it for another 2.5 years, and if ever anyone wants to know more, you can go to my website, pattyholman.com, or indeed on PBS. So to get back to your question, I love the stories behind these songs. And this one-man show was all about looking back. Michael Collins, I took the character of Michael Collins when they signed the treaty in 1922, and Collins actually said, well, what was it all for? What was it all about? And so if you look back through history, you see when many of the Irish people came out here back in, you know, 18th century, 19th century, and right up to the 50s, they came in search of new opportunity. They probably, you know, they worked their way up the ladders, they put their hopes in their children and stuff like that for a good education, but they never ever forgot the stories and the songs that they grew up in their local parishes, and they brought it out there to integrate into America and Irish America. And that's that type of stories that I'm most interested in. A lot of those songs are inspired around that, and so we have a great group of guys that back up those songs and stories, and actually have a lot of fun as well. I mean, you know, you got to celebrate, and you got to bring out all those traditions that we have. And we have a phenomenal group of dancers that are joining us in our concert. One lady is Danielle Emblom, and she has a great Shannos old style of dancing. And with her is actually a guy from, his parents are from County Kerry. Tyke Spillane, world champion in Irish dancing. We also have a guy called Larry Nugent. Larry Nugent, one of the most beautiful flute players from County Fermanagh. He'll be joining us at our concert next month at the Hyde Centre. And we have a guy, Brendan Bulger, on the fiddle. And also another beautiful singer-songwriter, Patsy O'Brien, who's actually from County Cork and living over there in Minnesota. He'll be joining us. So that's the Noble Call. So it's these, how can we honor and tell that story and at the same time have a bit of fun?
A lot of fun. In fact, March 11th, Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. We're talking about Patty Holman here. Patty Holman and the Noble Call. They're coming in, and you bring up a great point, especially about the Irish and the Irish traditions. You seldom hear anyone say this, for instance. Well, they're kind of lukewarm Irish. There's no such thing as lukewarm Irish. Irish is all in. All in, whether it's with your music, whether it's with your writing, storytelling, working, drinking, whatever. Everybody kind of goes all in. That's what it is. It's that kind of passion that comes along with it, and it comes through in the music. Now, Patty, you do realize that just as we've been speaking here, you almost lost me for a moment there because we could just, your voice, it just resonates so well. It's just a beautiful sound, and I'm sure there's a few listeners here that have been like, oh, I love that. I just love to hear him talk about all this. And when you say County Kerry,
well, it's really the Cork accent, you know. When you're from County Cork, it's voted the most sexiest accent in the world.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
We tend to agree with them. And yeah.
It is. Well, yes. Go with it. Go with it if you can. Patty, thanks for spending a little time with us. We are so looking forward to the show on March 11th, Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. You will not be disappointed. It will be an Irish celebration for you, and the entire month will feel so great when you get a chance to go to see Patty and the Noble Call at the Heidi Center for the Arts. Take care, my friend.
Absolutely. And I look forward to meeting everyone. And I will be hanging around afterwards if anyone has questions and stuff like that. So I look forward to meeting you and everyone, and God bless you all.
Thank you so much. Patty Holman on 715's Newsmakers here on the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy.